Hello, ballers and ballerettes. Welcome to the inaugural SC Ballers podcast. My name is Matt Ricks, host of the Terrace Crew. You'll have noticed a new name in your podcast and social media feeds, and that's because we have something very, very exciting to announce. From this moment, we are now officially the SC Ballers. The short of it is that we think not only Supercoach, but the entire fantasy sports experience can be much, much better, and Baller is born out of that need. We are the SC Ballers, Supercoach players and fans, focused on providing the most engaging experience whilst ensuring you get the best outcomes for your teams and playing the game that we all love. We will be powered by the largest investment in fantasy sports technology that this country has ever seen, which will be aimed at delivering you, the ballers, the information, data and content to you. In the coming weeks, we'll have a website and app that will turbocharge your Supercoach experience with first-of-its-kind content, tools, projections, and live game day experiences. Becoming a baller will get you access to all of this and much more, all for free. We've got to acknowledge our history and embrace, could not be more proud of what we've achieved with the Pod over the past 3 and a bit years. We are so happy that our hobby, nice, small podcast with our loyal listeners, friends and community and what it has done. And it has become the platform to launch one of the most exciting brands in fantasy sports. We had announced previously that a $1,000 be on offer for our league codes. And I'm so excited to say that we're raising the stakes tonight. Our Supercoach Ballers season-long prize, SC Ballers season-long prize, now offers $5,000 worth of prizes. $3,000 to who can ever take down the SC Baller as experts, and $500 for second to fifth place in that league. To win this prize, though, you've got to be... You must be registered at baller.promo with your name and email. That's it. Could not be simpler. This is one of the biggest prizes in Supercoach, and you do not want to miss out. The league code is 730-444-730-444. And remember, you must be a baller to be eligible for the prizes associated with that league. Baller.promo is where you got to head. Joining me tonight to launch the SC Ballers podcast, as always, like on the Pod, it's Coach of Tubes' Pods. Tubes, welcome to the SC Ballers podcast.
Yeah, cheers, bud. I'm happy to be here. I'm up and about. It's a good time to launch the first official round one team list Tuesday of the year. And coming in hot after a big Vegas into the launch of the Sunday Snap on Sunday.
Yeah, how was the Sunday Snap? Good fun?
It was good. I'm sure we're going to like eclipse it and go through the roof, but I did think I'd mention it was the highest rating Pod show in history. first off the rank, just after a couple of days. So, geez, I think the fans have been calling out for a good Sunday Snap. So yeah, it was good to kick off.
Tubes, number one, a rumor is you were the first sign up to baller.promo. Can you confirm this?
Could have been. I was quick onto it. I had video. Like, I'd almost just go there just to watch the video, and especially after you sign up, a nice little Parks and Rec reference, which is beautiful.
And Tubes, for the new listeners, because no doubt with the launch of SC Ballers, we're going to get an influx of listeners. I want you just to describe in a few words your Supercoach style and what you're going to be bringing to the table this year.
I don't know. Like, the old name, the Point of Difference podcast, I feel like I like to absorb and be in tune with what we are. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Ballers. I've been very volatile. I've enjoyed podding and anti-podding for the last few years. Some have called it a bit loose. I think strategically volatile. I'm looking forward to continuing with these strong opinions. And I play to win. I don't play to come top 1,000 or top 500 3 years in a row like others. I go for the gold. If you're not first, you're last. Type situation.
Tubes. Yeah, that's fair enough, Tubes. Like, you've referenced there the top 500 3 years in a row. That's obviously me. But I'm not here to talk about myself tonight. Tubes, I would describe you as someone who likes to challenge conventional thinking, and that's reflected in your team name, Tubes as Pods. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but I would definitely say you are someone with a very, very extensive track record in the game of Supercoach. He's 2014's third place overall finisher. He's a physiotherapist, an injury specialist, and some might even call him a tactical genius, analytical deep thinker. It's coach of the Casa Bonitas, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, welcome to the SC Ballers podcast.
Jeez, what an intro. I'll take that. Thanks, Matty. Very excited today. Rebrand all sounds very, very good. Sad to see the pod name brand, I wouldn't say die, but certainly transitioning. Very exciting. Love the Bob's Burgers reference in the video. It looks good. I was saying we maybe should get Jono's voice on for some of the promos. I really enjoy that. But the baller baritone himself. Very good to hear him on the Sunday Snap. Really offsets Tubes' gruff voice on there with a bit of smooth baritone. So yeah, very excited. Very pumped Teamless Tuesday first up.
Yeah, really excited to get stuck into TLT. A few little surprises, few key guys who have missed out. But Dan, before we get into that, just want to elaborate a little bit on your style of play and how you're approaching the 2025 season.
Yeah, so I'd say sort of opposite to Tubes. Not quite as volatile. Back when I did quite well in 2014, Supercoach was all about the meat and potatoes, man. So very much more data driven. You could kind of look at the stats and get a good gauge into who was value, who wasn't. I feel last, you know, maybe 5 years even, Supercoach has changed drastically. You've got to get the center wings, fullbacks, got to get people when they're hot, got to get people on runs as well. So a little bit more, even more so analytical deep diving on some projections and, it is taking a bit more of a punt now. So yeah, I think probably just a bit more of a deep diver, a bit more on the data, which maybe is to my detriment at times, we'll see this year. It's very interesting. I was just going through and we usually talk about a bit of a pot of a week, but I'm not sure if I've got too many this year. So similar to you yourself, mate.
Yeah, I generally like to run a pretty template sort of side to begin with. I like to find a pod or two, and I know that you, Dan, as well, you like to sniff one out, and you've got a good one later, probably the best of all the pods of the week. But I think there's a lot of value in trying to go with the crowd as much as possible to start and try and just find the strategic avenues. Especially when you're setting your team up, like it's so likely that you're not going to get your team right, your starting team right to start the year. So you really want to have the team structure set up well and the flexibility that you need to get the people, like those early trade targets who become prevalent really quickly, to be able to get them into your team. So that's where I'm going to focus my attention this week post-TLT. Excited to get stuck in to all the options tonight. Just one more reminder on the 5K league prize, baller.promo to sign up to be eligible, but the code is 730444 in Supercoach. So you can go in and it is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have tons and tons of people in there and a prize well worth winning. All right, let's get quickly just a quick weekend roundup. We obviously had the Sunday Snap Tubes where you and Jono went through the games from Las Vegas. What caught your eye from the weekend that's percolated over the last day or so since Vegas?
I suppose it was interesting. We sort of went through how good the Raiders looked, especially with their offloading, and then sort of talked up our man Xavier Savage because he looked unbelievable as a potential pod option. And then he's been suspended for a couple of weeks. And then I read today Tarponet is gone for a couple of weeks as well. So the horse owners are rejoicing. His stocks are just going through the roof. So I'm very happy to have him already locked into my front row forward position for the year.
Tarponet looked good as well on the weekend. Dan, what caught your eye from Vegas? Obviously, Nico not goal-kicking was probably the biggest Supercoach talking point.
Yeah, very worrying for owners. I'm an owner and... I'm just going to monitor the situation next week. I'm really hoping he goes back to kicking at, 85% last year. It seems a bit strange. It's got to be something to do with that groin injury that he had. Obviously, Metcalf for everyone, 50% of Supercoaches owning him, 12 points. I don't think it's as bad. I think that's as bad as he could go. Trying to work out the numbers, if he got those goals, goes to 24 points. One try assist, very close to it. So I think that's obviously, it's horrible and people are going to be looking to trade him out next week. So see if we can, get another 5-8 into the side somewhere, maybe via Jules, maybe via someone on a bye this week. So we might talk about that a bit later. But got to work out the side now based around possibly getting him out round 3, perhaps.
It is interesting to see the panic that's set in amongst the Supercoach community with Metcalf and people talking about saving money and keeping that extra cash up their sleeve to be able to go to players like Munster or Jaden Campbell in week 2. I'm not so sure. I'm going to give Metcalf another week and we'll just see, even though I do understand that sort of mid-range junk can get caught up in your team and hard to get out. All right, let's get into TLT round 1 main. We have 6 games on the menu at this stage this weekend. We've got to say that Dolphins-Bunnies game, who knows what's going to happen with Tropical Cyclone Alfred up there in Brisbane. Big shout out to all our listeners up in there in Brisbane. Hope you're doing well and make sure you're all bunkered down in all of southeast Queensland. We're going to run through our positional analysis of all the relevant players, who are the winners, who are the losers from team. And then we're going to run through some anti-pod plays and captaincy options. So let's start, as always, at hooker. And the cheap options here are the really ones that need a fair bit of consideration. Dan, we'll start with you. Corey Pax, 232K, has won the hooking role. Billy Walters on the bench. He's in my team currently. I'm not loving it, but I think he's a pretty safe little option there at hooker number 2 to start the year.
Yes, he's in my side at the moment. Anticipated that team list. Not too worried about Billy Walters at the bench. I think it's probably going to look at least 45, if not 50 minutes for Pakes. Showed some good form in the trial. And he's pretty much basement price. So very much running the cheap hooker strategy at the moment. I would like to get some cover at second row forward if I can. But I was originally thinking Watson, but a bit of a spanner in the works with a bench hooker there. So currently I think he's a buy. Definitely not. I don't think I'll play him in my 17, but he'll be that second hooker spot.
The other popular cheap hooker at 232K is also Sandon Smith. He's currently my hooker number 1. We spoke a bit about the dual cheap hooker strategy last week, and you were pretty firmly against it. Have you changed your opinion there? And are you running, I presume you're running Sandon Smith at hooker 2?
He's now my hooker 1 as well. Like I said, I like to keep it fluid, take on all aspects before making a decision. So my team at the moment is going to have Pakes as my hooker 2 and Sandon Smith as my hooker 1. It's just so much cash that you can save there. And I think I was pretty content on starting a gun hooker if it was going to be Jeremy Marshall-King. And with Kurt O'Donoghue on the bench there, I just think he doesn't become a realistic option. Kurt O'Donoghue? Anyway.
Hey, the Donoghue is right. There's no O. He's not Irish.
Kurt O'Donoghue. I think it makes Jeremy Marshall-King not an option. So I like the two hooker strategy. And we'll probably, probably just worth talking about him now. I'm looking at some cover though in my back row, looking at the Dolphins. And that's well-known son of John, Max Plaff, sitting in my second row forward as a 600K. And then that makes me feel a little bit better running that cheapy hooker strategy to start the year, that I know I can swing him down there if it's not working out well with Pakes or something like that from that side of things.
Yeah, that's a great shout. I was keen on doing that with Connor Watson as well at the start of the year. I've just gone off Watson a little bit with that perceived lineup. The Roosters, they've actually named a hooker on the bench in Zach Docker-Clay, which is interesting. And then three forwards. So whether Watson gets any minutes remains to be seen. Dan, Max Plath is someone who looks like a big winner from the Finns team list there. He's starting on the edge, I believe, and will probably get some middle minutes as well. He's around that sort of tricky price, just above 600K. Is he someone else? Are you going to be looking at him as well, same as Tubes?
Yeah, I think that cover for the two cheapy hooker scenario is important. It is high price, like 620K. He is meat and potatoes man, like through and through. He did jag a fair few attacking stats last year through the middle, which was interesting to bump up his stats a little bit. But I think he, in terms of just the raw bone, you know, tackles, hit ups, some promising chat as well, you know, about, I think him personally was saying, I'll start on the edge and look to the middle. He's been working a lot in his defense out there. So, yeah, very, very much the one I'm looking at for that hooker cover. Just not as exciting as some of the other guys at 2RF. So, yeah, I'll just wait and see.
He's the hardest working man in NRL. Like, as in, like he could go to a whole new level this year. I know Tom Gilbert's back, who's previously the hardest working man in NRL before Max Plath came on the scene last year. I just think that he's got, I've sort of talked myself into him, especially if he plays edge and middle and gets 70 plus minutes. But I think it's possible that that attacking upside isn't also a fluke. Like, as in, he's just a young guy coming through. I'm looking forward to owning Maxi Plath to start the year.
I can't quite get him at the price. I think I prefer Dylan Lucas or someone like that. Irish Kurt O'Donoghue. On the bench rules out JMK as an option. Jeremy Marshall King, I think. He's a bit of a wait and see. He might drop a little bit further in price, one for the coming rounds. Dan, are you the same on Connor Watson as a bit of a no-go option?
Yeah, we covered it in the preseason. That was the scenario that really turned us off him. So having a hooker on the bench. Hooker, I think I liked Connor a lot more at 65 minutes in the middle. A lot more ball, a lot more runs, a lot more opportunities to pop offloads, tackle breaks. So hooker just doesn't allow for that the same way. It's going to be a lot more distribution. He'll get the sneaky run from time to time, but it just really caps that attacking prowess. So we know he has, but it's not in the modern game. It's kind of not. It's just not going to be as good. So I think I'm going to miss him with Zach Docker-Clay there. See how it goes. You know, you could bring him in at 580K. It's not too bad a price to maybe swing one of those other two RFs if it's looking like he's getting really high minutes.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There is inherent value in that dual, but I think Max Plath probably is, even though he's a slightly more expensive option, has the better role out of those two. Finally, Tubes, just on the last of the hookers, those sort of upper-level cheapies, Mamazelis and Brendan Hands, how have you assessed their lineups for their Supercoach credentials to start the season?
I think Mamazelis, I mean, whilst he's not a noted full-time hooker on the bench, the fact that they've put Siva Havili and also picking Jaden Sullivan with Humphrey starting in the side, I think that shows me that they're committed to that utility role on the bench, which it just doesn't give me huge confidence that they think Mamazelis is going to be an 80-minute man. It probably just pauses a little bit. I mean, but at the same time, he's 300 and something K. I just prefer Pakes over him just for the 70K difference for that second hooking role.
Yeah, I agree. If he was looking like he was a chance for 80, I'd probably jump to him, and that's where if I was running that Plath strategy and Mamazelis ended up does get 80, then you could look at either. It's not so much with the plus strategy, but you could look at bringing Mamazelis in for one of those guys at some point. But he's a wait and watch for me at this stage. Moving down to front row forward, in the cheap low to mid options here, really the main talking point here and Tubes, I'll throw to you, is Nahafau White from the Sydney Roosters. Now, he's been named to start, which is a bit of a surprise given it was looking like Siwa Wong was probably the one who was going to start there. Maybe not in front row, but with Spencer Lenu suspended, White has won that role. Not the worst bench I've ever seen for White either. He's priced at 367K. He's just awkward. Like, he's dual 2RF front row forward. I don't know. I haven't owned him all preseason, and it's going to be tricky for me to squeeze him in at this point, I think.
How long is Spencer Lenu out for?
Just a few weeks? A week or two. I think 1 to 2.
I mean, I got excited seeing that bench, like Blake Steep, Solisi for Keddy, Sia Wong, obviously Nat Butcher starting at lock. Like, it feels like this week at least, people that buy enough Nafua White are going to be cheering. He's going to get good minutes. You probably want to see what that looks like when Spencer Lenu comes back. I suppose it is all, I just don't see a huge upside play for him. But he could end up being a 500K front row forward, and maybe that's what you're looking for to start the year at the price.
Yeah, I think given the Horsburgh role, where it looks like he's going to get 55 to 60 minutes each week in the middle for the Raiders, he looks fit. People can run him at front row forward two, maybe gives you that option to play Nahafau White as a front row forward three who can swing up and down as required. I'm still going to be running the dual Nuff at front row forward for now, but I will, if it fits the team structure, have a bit of a look at Nahafau White if I've got the cash and it makes some sense.
A lot of good feedback on that dual Nuff strategy from last week, Matt. I think a lot of people hadn't sort of thought about it. I just think I'm running that as well. Like, I've got Tino in my back row. I'm going to have Tyrrell May, Horse, and then two Nuffs, and then just swing him around. But if I was going a third front row forward, that it was on the cheaper side, I think White's next man up if you're not going the two Nuff strategy.
Yeah, and slightly up from White, we've got obviously the premium options like Tyrrell May. Not much needs to be said there. If you're not picking him, you're antipodding him. But he's very highly owned. Payne Haas looks like a good pick again this year. He's 660 something K. Looks like, you know, there's a chance that Broncos that look a bit more offload keen in the preseason, which could bode well for Haas. Toby Couchman, he's named to start. Looks like they're very thin on middles, the Dragons. So his role, he's a bit more expensive, but he's dual second row, front row now. So could be an option if you want to spend that sort of mid-range money. How are you approaching those higher price guys?
Yeah, I really like the look of Couchman, particularly just on the stats last year. I think he went for a PPM point per minute of 1.3 in around 30 minutes. Like, it's just really good numbers. So if he punches that up to 50-55, I can see him really as an end game, you know, player at maybe front row forward three. Now he's got the dual. The one thing with the trial turned me off a little bit is he only got the first 20 and then I think he came off. So I'm not sure what that rotation's going to be, but I wouldn't expect that's the way it's going to go for the first round. I think he's going to play about that 50 minutes. He's just now that the horse has come good and looking very, very good, it's hard to pick him up at 480K. So I'm probably just going to wait and watch, see how it goes. Maybe if there's an injury to, say, Tino, injury to Tyrrell May, maybe a good downgrade option and could be definitely playable up there in front row forward. So, yeah, leave him at the moment. I'm going to watch the Broncos boys. I think Carrigan and Haas, huge minute guys usually, both playing in the front row now. Hetherington looking to get a few more minutes. I'm just looking where the minutes are going to come from. Like, unless all the bench boys are playing really low minutes, you know, I just don't know what it's going to be like with Madge, new coach. So just to wait and see. They're at a high price. I think it's easy to wait on. So For me, I'm very keen on the dual Nuff front row forwards, Corey and Terrell May. Nafari White, maybe. I think, again, I want to watch for the first two rounds and see how that plays out.
I think you're pretty spot on there. Terrell May and Horsburgh look like the peas at front row forward to start in your team. Moving down to second row forward now, let's segue straight to the Broncos because that's very interesting, that bench. Kobe Hetherington, 338K, very interesting. Jakuszewski, very 232K, named to start on the edge. Brendan Piakura lurks on the bench though there. And just on Jakuszewski, in 80-minute games throughout his career, he's averaged 49 points, so very handy. But when he drops to between 40 and 60 minutes per game, that average drops down to 28.8. So I think with that Piakura bench there, Tubes, that is all sorts of trouble for Jakuszewski, and he could be a pretty serious trap at 232K is how I'm approaching him. Kobe Hetherington, I'm actually not that happy with that. Dancer, Carrigan and Haas play big minutes. Willison, not so much. Corey Jensen can play okay minutes too. I've got Kobe Hetherington at the moment, and I think I will keep him. But, yeah, just a bit of a watch. I'm hoping for 60 minutes.
You're throwing to me?
I am.
I thought you threw it to me a minute ago and then you sort of just kept talking for a little bit longer. But, so answer your first point, Gajewski, he's not a could be a trap. He is a trap. I just wouldn't be starting with him. I wouldn't have started with him even if Piakura was on the bench, but with Piakura on the bench, you just can't have him. I think Kobe Hetherington, to be honest, I don't love the bench for him because Gajewski can go into the middle. Mm. Xavier Willison and Corey Jensen Jensen particularly can play sort of 40 minutes. But I think Hetherington's still a pretty good option. Because he definitely does fit that mold, as we've said, in preseason of Madge's man, and he's potentially got that upside minutes from that side of things.
Dan, a couple of other cheap options at 2RF have really emerged in the last, one of them just today, but Lockie Hubner in the last week, he's won the lock jersey at 232K for South Sydney, beating out Talis Duncan, Koala Matangi named on an edge as expected. And the other one is Ryan Couchman, the Dragons. As discussed, those minutes look right up in the air at the Dragons. He's 265K. The Raps from St. George are very high. I know that he was the preferred Couchman as they were coming through the grade. Very, very high work rate. Is he someone that you could consider as that sort of second, you know, your second cheapie at 2RF?
He's definitely one to watch. I think there's a bit of risk in starting with him. They've got Luciano Leilua and Jaden Sewer who can both go 80 if they want to. I know that Ryan Couchman, much more touted as an edge player as well. So he can play through the middle. They're just so raw bone, the Couchmans. I think they're going to be excellent players in the next couple of years. But I think they're probably going to prefer him to sub on maybe Luch for 20 minutes. Play through the middle if required with that team. So I definitely want to steer clear now. Like maybe if he was 230K or bottom price, like, yeah, definitely. Like he's very much an upcomer. We saw him get over for a try in the trial as well. So probably not for me to start with, but definitely a close eye on him.
And Hubner?
Oh, I love him. Love the stats coming out of reserve grade. Got to lock him in. He's the best of the 230K bunch at second row forward. Stats in reserve grade, Q cut for the Capras. Average points around 62, 53 in base. Like, obviously can go the distance. A fair few 80-minute games in that. So, yeah, hopefully he's one of Wayne's boys, obviously brought in from the Dolphins. Beating Talis Duncan to that spot as well, so... Yeah, very promising signs, and yeah, he's going to be locked into my team.
Would you lock him into your 7-8?
No. If I can afford, if I can play elsewhere, no. But probably that 17th player, if you go on premium, a lot of premiums, yeah, you could probably play.
Dan, I just want to, so I've currently got two placeholder 232Ks in my second row. One's Hubner and the other one is Geimer currently. That Parramatta bench, he's been named on. Can I start with Geimer, or should I be looking at a different cheapie? And if so, like, there's just none really else on the radar there.
It's just weird. It's a weird team, that Parramatta, that forward pack. Jackie Boy Williams named on the edge. Very interesting. He'll do well to catch balls.
How many drop balls till he's dropped?
Yeah, I know. How's he going to catch those short balls? Just, you know, at the line, those pressure balls at the line trying to run through. So, look, Matt Dory plays a bit of edge as well. Ryan Madison plays a bit of edge. Geimer, more of the middleman. So, I don't hate it, but I think Madison will probably play through the middle, and same with Dory. So, like, there's just so much volatility up at that forward pack with that rotation. Riley Smith on the bench helps. But, yeah, I think it's a really tough call. I guess if you're really happy with your team around it, and he could be that last spot if you've only got the cash, I could see you picking him up, but I'm not keen to have him there.
No, the only thing I can say about that, the Para pack though as well, is they've got no big minutes players bar Tuilagi and Hopgood in that pack. So Kelmore will probably play 70 to 80. And then he's probably becomes back into the fold a little bit, even though he's quite unimpressive in the trials. Offahen Gawai and Palo are not big minute props at all. Jack Williams is not a big minute. Yeah, he can go decent minutes, but I wouldn't expect him to play 80 on an edge. So there are some bench minutes there to share around.
Yeah, I think what really looks good there is the role of Jermaine Hopgood. I think that bench, very, very good for him. I'm expecting 65, and we know what he can do with his attacking stats, his offloads. I will be scrambling to get him in. I think he, at that sort of 650K price, I think he's my number one guy to pick up there. So,
yeah, it's interesting that premium 2RFs, you're kind of looking at Hopgood, Preston, Dylan Lucas, and sort of Maxi Plath. They're sort of the premium options. Some people are pretty keen on Ola Kawatu. I'm probably not as keen on him. But yeah, I agree. I think Hopgood's a great pick if you want a premium 2RF. Tubes, round out with some mid-range junk here in the 2RF. Finafuiaki, he's been named to start. He's got Lemuelu. Jeez, lurking on the bench there. And then Alex Seyfarth and Kelma Tuilagi, who we just discussed a little bit. They're sort of in those mid-400s. Tommy Gilbert can probably throw in there as well. He's been named a captain, the Dolphins. Yeah, how are you feeling about the mid-rangers in 2RF? I know we had the big pot on them a couple of weeks ago, but now with team lists, bit more info.
Yeah, I think it just depends on how you're structuring your team. I think that they're all potential options. Jono's been talking me into Finifuiaki as the big name signing from the Cowboys, and he thinks he's going to get good minutes with a bit of upside. He's also pumping up, not so much as a super. He looked in, playing the Four Nations or the Tri Nations or whatever it was over the for the international games, and so he thinks Finifuiaki running off Katoa, rather than coming off Chad and Dearden, is just going to be huge for his game. So I don't mind him as a shout. I'm looking more at cheapies in the center wing, and I'm looking at stacking my front, my second row forward. I've currently got Plath that could be Hopgood, Lucas, Preston, and Bateman, and Tino,
wow,
and Hubner. So I'm pretty stacked in the second row forward. That's where I'm sort of going hard at those sort of high to mid premiums.
Yeah, interesting. That sounds like a pretty decent strategy. Bateman's interesting there as well. We might chat about him though, pod of the week. Jack Bird, probably named on the bench. That's a no-go, Dan.
Yeah, definite miss. I don't know. I still expect maybe 50 minutes, maybe even 60 at a push as well. So, but I think you wanted to see a little bit more at 374K. So, yeah, not for me. I think anyone that just that mid-ranger issue, I think there's a fair few of them, and you just want to have one, maybe two, and like which one is going to pop. Like, I don't think there's anything worse than having to do a mid-ranger swing because those mid-rangers could have one good game. You think they're looking all right. You swing across, waste a trade, then they go to dot ball again. So, you know, someone like Tommy Gilbert, I think he's had, one game of over 6 points for evade stats. Like, it's just as meat as potatoes as you can get. So you kind of know what to expect with him. But say the likes of Tuolungi, say far, they get over for an early try. You think, oh, great, a 70-point game.
Mm.
You bring them in, it's a waste of a trade, and they're getting back down to 40. So, or not getting the minutes. So I'm going to try to avoid all of them as much as possible.
Yep. I think I'm the same bus. But yeah, I do have Gilbert in my team at the moment, just with the structure. I actually need a mid-ranger, but I'll probably have a look at that again in the next 48 hours. Moving down to halfback, and there's only one name on the list here. Most people were running some sort of combination of Cleary, Hines, and young Thomas Duffy, who is a rookie, 198K, never played NRL, will be making his debut this weekend in round one. We got a bit of inside information there, Tubes, during the week that Duffy had won the spot from a Todd Payton contact. That's good news for his sort of medium-term prospects, I'd say. Apparently, he won that spot. That hurts Drinkwater's appeal, obviously losing the goal kicking. Duffy kicked in the trial. I don't know if there's much to say. You've either got him and you're happy, or you've got Nico and Cleary.
Yeah, I mean, the decision was made last week, yeah. Realistically. Clifford's named at 19, so I have the feeling that it's now Duffy's spot to lose. So I'd certainly be feeling pretty good if you made that decision last week based on sort of how Nico and Cleary combo looked on the weekend. But I still think it's going to come with risk. We'll see in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Clifford's obviously a good option, but I mean, good luck on the Duffy train this week.
Yep. I think you just got to give him a bit of a watch and see. If you're a Nico owner, just give Nico another week, and then you can always pick Duffy up on the bubble if it's looking a bit dicey for Nico, if he hasn't picked the goal kicking back up. Like, I'm really worried if he doesn't goal kick in 2 weeks, that means he's had one game in 5 weeks and he's still feeling that adductor strain, Dan. I'd be concerned, and I'll probably look if Nico's not kicking there and Duffy's looking the goods, that might be a pretty easy trade to make, even though Cronulla play Souths in round three at home.
Yeah, look, there's a potential if you're in that scenario. So I think we're all in that scenario with Hines as in halfback, left out Duffy. Depending on scores, but Cowboys have a tough draw to begin with as well. So Manly at Four Pines, into the Sharks, into the Broncos. Like, that is very tough. So rookie halfback, he's got the goal kicking, but if the points aren't coming, if the Cowboys are getting towed up, obviously Jake Clifford is fit as well, being named at number 19. Like, I really like Jake Clifford as a player, and I still think he's NRL grade. So, if they're getting smashed and Duffy might not make the cut, I think you're nearly willing to hold for that first price rise as well, if it's not too big. If it's, break even of minus 50, they'll maybe have to jump on. But if he's only going to make 40-50K, Nico's got Souths. I think you could just even hold for that round three and see how it goes from there. So yeah, bit to still go, I think.
I know we've got the inside info, Matt, on Duffy, but it would be fun if Clifford comes in, starts, Duffy benched an hour before kickoff, or something along those lines, just to throw a real curveball. For the Duffy owners,
it's late in the week as well, isn't it?
Second still can get game. Dill Brown, but you'd have to blow up your side for it. That's for sure. People would have to drop.
What
Turbo
if Clifford comes
onto
the bench? Even more exciting, Clifford on the bench.
exciting, Clifford start, Duffy dropped out of the side. we live to dream.
Let's move down to 5'8", and that's really interesting now with Luke Metcalf. Dan, I'd be interesting to pick your strategic brain here a little bit. There's a few options here. It looks very even position to start the year. You got the premiums like Matty Burton, who has a nice draw to start. Cam Munster has a bye in round two and Penrith in round three, so a bit of a tricky start. Then you got your jewels like Tubes. I think it's very safe to say he's Tubes' boy. Alexander Brimson, AJ Brimson, a.k.a. AJ Brimpod, as we like to call him on the SC Ballers podcast.
He won't be a pod for long.
Yeah, and then we got Adam Dewey. Adam Dewey in that mid-range as well. And then also, yeah, like Jaden Campbell even is someone, a man who's on everyone's lips, who's the goal-kicking halfback for the Gold Coast Titans this year. Dan, rather than probably individuals here, because there's a lot of good options, strategically with Metcalf, and most of our listeners will be Metcalf owners, how are you playing that second 5-8 position to start the season?
Yeah, so like I think with Metcalf going badly, I think that throws like enough strategy out the window for sure. You need to have a player that is you can play in your 17. I think it has to be a jewel potentially if you're not going the premium guys. So Dylan Brown or Munster, you know, absolutely fine to have those two. There's a few negatives against starting with both of them, just with draws and a few things up in the air. But I think that's the safest bet is to get a premium there. I'm really keen on a jewel. So Brimpod, AJ Brimson, Adam Dewey. And I really like that Jaden Campbell's got that little bit of flex as well at 5-8 fullback. For myself, playing Tamale this week has really meant that I could probably take another Titans on the bye and be quite safe with a strong 17 still. So I'm probably looking at an angle of possibly bringing in Campbell for that second spot, having Dewey or Brimson in center wing for that emergency exit of Metcalf. So it's a fair bit of cash, but I think I'm willing to take that punt. I'm definitely not willing to save 300 grand on the bench. I hate having money on the bench to start with, not using your full cap. I wouldn't go and then upgrade to Metcalf round two. That's not on the cards for me.
You're also locking away a trade. You have to make, you know, a trade that you're making next week. And it's one of the most important trade week. Round two is, if not the most important, the second or third most important trade week. So, you know, removing that flexibility from your armory, you know, and like you said, having all that money on the bench, I just don't think that's viable. I'd rather just get Jaden straight away, get him in your team, save yourself a trade, and yeah, take a punt on one of those center wings as your 17th player for the week. Tubes, anything from you to add at 5-8? It's a very interesting position to start the year.
I'm definitely going to be starting with Brimson as my second 5-8. I've played Metcalf already, so we'll see what happens there. But I'm probably also keen on starting Dewey in the center wing, and he could be obviously an option to flip up there as well. So I like Dewey and Brimson. Dewey with the team that's named and kicking goals for sure.
Yep. And he might only kick a week. We just don't know how that's going to play out with Appy suspended this week. But yeah, I agree. Dewey for me at center wing at this stage. I'll have a look at Brimson at center wing instead. But I do like that strategy. That just gives you more flex as well to bring in either a 5-8 or a center winger. We might get a good cheapie prevail out of nowhere. You never know at the center wing, flipping Dewey up there. For Metcalf in round two or round three. I'm going to give Metcalf another go. Manly at home. A lot of people will probably sit him, and I think that'll be the wrong thing to do. So I'll be looking at giving Metcalf one more chance in round two, but I do see why people are rage trading him out already. I will be in at the end of round one. Center wing now, guys. Or as always, plenty doing center wing to start round one. We got some big wins with the cheapies. Robert Toyer, who was a bit up in the air, 198K debutant for the Roosters, named to start. Giramatsu Shibasaki, not quite a debutant. He's a bit of a journeyman these days, but he's been named on merit at left centre for the Bronx. So it looks like that's quite a good position. He's currently in my team. Isaiah Tass, 320-something K. He is starting for the Bunnies. Is he in the wing or the...
Yeah, the wing.
Yep. And then Jackson Purdue, who, as we mentioned on the pod last week, should be 100% owned. He's named to start in the centres for the Cowboys. Probably not a lot to be said on those guys. tubes. Maybe Shibasaki is the most controversial in terms of do you take him or not?
I mean, I think you take Toya. Billy Smith wasn't named in the squad, so there's a slight risk there, I think, that he's still coming back from injury. Not sure, but I mean, no matter what, you're getting him and you're probably not playing him in your 17. I'm dodging Shibasaki. I like Purdue, Toya. I've got Tamale last week. So I think there's enough sort of cheapies to play with. I also am likely going to start with Tass from the Bunnies with the hope that he's going to have the goal kicking that we saw in the trials and also playing on the wing with Campbell Graham back. I think that he's got a bit of base upside at 312K or 320K, something like that. So they're the ones I like. Toya, Tass, Purdue, Tamale, who we've got. That's sort of four good cheap centre wings from my opinion.
A couple went by the wayside as well. Dan Finau from the Dragons, Tui Pilotu, who's been named on the left wing. I think we had one more as well who's escaped my mind at the moment. It's going to make it a little bit tricky for Supercoach. I think you're going to have to make a little bit of a compromise there. Obviously, if you don't own Tamale, he's on the horizon next week as well. So, a little bit plans to think about there. In your sort of more upper range centre wingers, winners there, Dylan Lucas named on the edge, Jewel 2RF, obviously, Campbell Graham named to start. Nice to see, even if a little bit of a he looked like he was going to be set to miss round one with that hand, a broken hand. Jarrell Skelton named at center as well. And then one name who I knew you were keen on earlier in the preseason, and he's won that left wing spot for Manly, is Lehi Opawadi, a little bit more expensive at 600,000.
Yeah, I thought we weren't talking about pods of the week until we got to the segment.
Yeah, sorry. No, just Matts. We're just leaving just... Matts till the end.
We mentioned both. Very keen on Lehi. I think the stats show he's got the, I guess you wouldn't call it a handcuff, so to speak. He's near with a handcuff that he's got the fullback position when Tommy Turbo goes down, which is excellent. Plus that left wing for Manly, notorious like hotspot for just tries. So very keen on Lehi. The price is high, 580K. His base isn't spectacular, although he had a game basing 40 plus one game last year, which is excellent to see. So, yeah, very much if I'm going to take a flyer on anyone, it's definitely Lehi. Just circling back, like Isaiah Tass, really interesting. On the wing spot, they've got Jai Gray, they've got Munro. Jackie Whiten also isn't known for his kind of base work. Campbell Graham is going to have to do a fair bit of work out of the back there as well. So I think Tuss is just excellent, like going to score tries of the week. Base is... he's not bottom price, but I think he's a definite pickup at this stage.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was kind of hoping to get maybe two or three premiums in my centre wing. It's probably going to come down to 2.5 now, maybe a Dewey style, potentially only even 1.5. Like, there's a lot of fires to put out in 2RF and there are a lot of good cheaper sort of options, and Isaiah Tass in that upper mid range, upper cheapy price bracket looks pretty good to me. Fullback to round out the positional analysis, Isaiah Yongi is the only place to start here. He's now over 65% owned as of TLT on Tuesday round one. I was saying pre-pod in the green room tubes that I've never seen anyone own this high. We've swapped strategies. Obviously, it's been the biggest talking point of the preseason. Do you go with Yongi or the three-gun fullback strategy? When we first started the preseason, I was very high on Yongi and on the three-gun fullbacks. Currently, I'm set up with three-gun fullbacks with Walsh, Ponga and Turbo. What are you running with Yongi? Are you running Yongi at the moment?
I'm running Yongi at the moment. I just think he's looked very good in the trials from an ISS point of view. Obviously, the stats were there from his Penrith reserve grade in terms of his ball playing base and try scoring ability. And then seeing him, what he did in the trials, particularly the second trial, I think he's just too hard to ignore that how doesn't he average sort of 50 plus. Still, I'll have to have a look though. I mean, after this TLT, we've gotten a lot more cheapies in that sort of back row that I'm warm to, as I said earlier, than I thought. So I've gone very heavy on my back row. If a couple of them downgraded to cheapies, I'm still partial to the three gun fullback strategy. So I do think it's a bit of a toss, but I think Iongi, I don't think he doesn't feel like a great antipod play for me, and I love an antipod play, but I don't think you can get away too much with him. He looks bulletproof outside of Itru.
I'm all these options and what's happened since stung me in terms of we've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes to get SC Ballers up and running, and I actually haven't given much more thought to my fullback strategy, but just looking at the money I've got to spend now, Reece Walsh is probably only hanging by a thread. But Dan, the reason I like Walsh as a third fullback or any three-gun fullback strategy, I think Ponga Turbo Walsh is the most popular currently for people going with that setup. The reason why I like that is I do feel like from a game theory perspective, if we can get Yongi to not go too big too quickly, and even if he goes badly, then we can really get away to a flyer on a big chunk of the field. And we still have that flexibility to go down from Reece Walsh or Ponga to Yongi if he does look like he's a must-have cheapie in terms of the cash generation he's going to make. Ponga has a bye round four, so even if you have to forgo that week, you know, Reece Walsh is looking on fire. They've got a ton of games at Suncorp in a row. You could let Yongi have that price ride, go up to 300K and then go Ponga to Yongi in round four. That's kind of where my head's at, and even just talking that through now, I feel a bit more comfortable with that strategy.
Yeah, I mean, same as kind of antipodic Metcalf, like there's a lot of scenarios where like you think that it potentially could work out great for you by antipodding, and it's not favorite. I was very keen on Iongi just looking at how good he was in the trials, and got the stats to back it up. I will be starting. It does concern me. I'm running Reece Walsh instead of Ponga as that second one. So Turbo and Reece Walsh. It is a little bit concerning. I would be happy if Ponga averages maybe 20 over Yongi. That would be the best. That would be an excellent result because of just the cash that frees up to spend elsewhere on the premium. So, yeah, look, I can see the three-gun fullback strategy. I think there's enough there. I'm very much about team balance as well. So we've got Dylan Lucas and Greg Marju as good pickups for the Knights. I'm going to use that as my security blanket there. Lay Ponga early. If the sides are there and the Pong is killing it, yeah, probably an easy swing after round four bye.
Any of those other fullbacks, Dan, in terms of the premiums, who you're hot or cold on?
Cold on Tedesco at the price. Drinky, no kick in. Cold as well. Keanu Kinney. Very interested. Very exciting. Very much looking forward to seeing him play. And I feel I will have him in my team at some point. So strategic-wise, I'm going Reece Walsh to get off to a flyer. If for some reason that doesn't work out, I think there's a hard swing to Kinney there at some stage. Just with the where you want points early on, get off to a start, a hot flyer. I think that fullback position is too hard to carry for a bye for the first round.
Tubes, you've got a few interesting thoughts at fullback. There was a survey put out post the first TLT last week, or post trials, I should say, and amongst the podcast community, and 65 of 67 coaches owned Tommy Trbojevic, so very highly owned from the community. You're looking potentially to take on Tommy Turbo to start the year.
Yeah, I think from earlier on, you've probably just added in, you know, the adding in the word game theory just to say, make it sound a bit more intellectual. And I like to run with that and go, I'm looking at the game theory play here of not starting with Turbo when everyone is starting with Turbo. And I just think that everyone's a pretty, I mean, you could go on about his injury history. You could go on about a few different things in that regard. But I just think everyone's sort of going, and it's, I mean, how do you pot Turbo? Like, this is all just completely trying to make up reasons. But I think everyone's sort of going, they've got an easy run to start the year. They are playing a lot of games at Brookie. But their first game is against the Cowboys. I was at that game against the Storm. Defensively on the line, the Cowboys were looking very good to me. And there is a world where I've seen it in the past where Todd Payton does get them fired up and defending fairly well. Then they go to play the Warriors, who's just come off getting smashed in Vegas by the Raiders. So you've got to be thinking they'll be fired up on a Friday night in Auckland or Christchurch, wherever, I think it's in Auckland, that one. And then they have round three against the Raiders, who we've just seen could be off to a flyer. Yeah. And then four against Eels, five against the Storm. So it might not be as hot a draw as everyone's thinking. I'm looking at laying Turbo, and it's also a little bit because I like Ponga and Walsh. So I do like all three of them. If I was going a three-gun strategy, I'd go all of them. But I'm looking at picking the most popular one to lay out of the three.
That also frees you up a fair bit of cash versus going one of the other two as well.
Yeah, an extra 100K or so. Yeah. Mm.
Interesting. That's why you're the unconventional thinker. Is that what? So the challenge conventional thinking.
I just might change my name to Chooses Game Theory. That's my new new team name.
I hate how spot on you were that I was just trying to sound a bit smarter as well. That was the main thing I took away from that. Let's roll that in, Tubes, to our Antipod Plays of the Week. And so these are players who we're taking on who are highly owned. Tubes, you mentioned there that you're not that keen on Manly's draw, so you're making all of Manly your Antipod.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want it to sound like I'm not keen on Manly's draw. I just think that everyone's overplayed how good it is and are going Turbo and Garrick. And so I'm not going Turbo or Garrick or Olakuatu. I figured once I wasn't going Turbo and Garrick, like I'm not looking for any backstop there and getting Olakuatu or Lehigh. So I'm basically just going against all of Manly. Their pack's a little soft too, I'd say. Like their front
bully
row more, forward
bully, and bully more.
Yeah, there's enough there. I'm not sold on that Manly team completely. What is it they've got? Yeah, Bullimore, Gerbo, Paseka, Sifa, Takiaho coming back. Like, what's he going to look like? Corey Waddell, Sipley as their bench. Like, they're starting Jazz Tavanga as their hooker. Like,
what's going on there?
Don't know. And Jake Simpkin off the bench. So, I mean, and then they've got Luke Brooks at 5'8". Like, I think there's just a lot of chatter as if people just think, man, and Seabold's their coach. Like, I mean, There's certainly a world where they're not that good.
I actually have a little ticket on Manly for the spoon at 33-1. So I'm with you there, Tubes.
Well, me and you are a bit too aligned this year, Matt. Manly, and then I like the Titans. I reckon if the Titans were playing this week, there's a chance I'd have five of them in my side to start the year.
Yeah, no, I like the Titans. I don't know. Hopefully they can do well. I don't know if they can win the comp, but we got a little ticket at 50-1, so give them strength. Dan, your Antipod Player of the Week to kick us off for round one this year.
Yeah, just want to talk about Manly, maybe. Cheers was very convincing there, but trying to think about it, like, the pack is soft is really what I'm taking out of that. Like, if that's all you're going off to lay the likes of Turbo and Garrick, well, yeah, good luck to you. But, you will definitely convince some listeners
good luck,
out
mate.
There.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
It's a bit early in the morning, Dan, if that's all you're taking away from that.
I did like the little jab around, I don't balance teams out, or I don't, have backups, just in case. I didn't, like, you're just all in. So, Yeah, good luck. And, you know, you are fluid, so I expect to see a couple of Manly names in your final squad come Thursday. But for me, it was really tough. It was really tough trying to lay someone over 25% owned. I've got a lot of the staples in there. So for me, it was Watson, just with what we've talked about, laying Connor Watson there. He doesn't potentially have a great role with maybe 65 minutes at hooker. That could change. He could go into lock, play through the middle for those extra minutes. And if I see that, I'm going to love it. I'm going to get him in the side. But to start with, I'm going to lay.
Yep, that'd be a great result for owners if he get some that sort of 15 to 20 minutes in the middle to go along with 40 at hooker. My pods of the anti-pods of the week, I've got a couple here, and they're just cheapies. But Mamazelis from Souths, I'm not really interested in him. With that bench, I think he might end up getting 40 to 50 minutes. I'm just not interested. Him attack, and he looks like dangerous as well. Then yeah, like fine, I might look to move to him at some point, but I'm happy to take him on early and just go with the cheaper option of Corey Pax. The other one who I've spoken about at length this preseason is Royce Hunt. I'm just not keen on him whatsoever. The Tigers actually have, you know, they got Terrell May who's going to play big minutes. And they've got some guys in there. They've obviously got Jack Bird who can play lock, Fanua Pole, who's been named in the front row to start. And they've also named Sione Fainu, former sort of cheapy nuff of some repute from the Dragons a few years ago. So that's three Fainu brothers at the Tigers now. Look, I'm just a little bit worried about Royce Hunt. I think he's a good player, big minute. I'm sad to see him leave the Sharks. Sorry, small minute, big impact player. But he just doesn't have a super coach friendly game at all. He's got no offload. He's not going to bust a lot of tackles. So for me, he's just to take on at that cheap price. All right, finally this week, pod of the week, and I'll kick us off. I spoke about him before, kept him up the sleeve, so to speak. Jonny Bateman, he's been put up in a few circles in the last 7 days. He's at about 511K, I think, or roundabouts. 80-minute games. Historically, he's done very, very well. He had a few injury-affected games last year. I'm a little bit worried about his form just generally. I think he's certainly not the player he was when he burst onto the NRL scene a few years ago at Canberra. And I think he was particularly poor for the Tigers. But he's by all reports, he's had a good preseason up there in Townsville. And I think that he's a slightly higher-priced mid-ranger. But I think if you can get up to him, he's probably the best with the most upside of those guys. So he is my pod of the week to kick us off for this year. Dan, where are you going? I know we've mentioned him already, but do you want to just give him one more plug?
Really? Like, we've already talked about Lehi Hoparati enough, I think. And okay. Manly in general.
But he's your pod of the week. So
he's my pod of the week. Lehi Hoparati, yeah, lock it in. Just on Bateman, like, it's really down to the Cowboys' depth at that back row. Like, it's just not there. Decent price for maybe an expected 80-minute back rower. Otherwise, you're jumping up to the likes of Dylan Lucas, Jacob Preston, Olakuatu even. So there's not many at that 500,000K that are going to play 80 minutes on the edge that are Supercoach relevant. So I think you could take a punt on Bateman, and potentially, if it doesn't work out for you, might be an easy sideways swing to the likes of, say, Hoskins if you didn't pick him up to start with, and Matty Nicholson doesn't come into the side at Canberra. So, yeah, I think that makes it a little bit more enticing just at the price.
Yeah, and he's not really a pot either, but you mentioned there Jacob Preston. He's an excellent option of that lower premium 2RFs. 609,000, only 13% owned, so I wouldn't be shying away from him, and I'm going to give him a lot of consideration this week. Tubes, this is the one we've been waiting for, your pot of the week.
Look,
you can't even say it, can you?
I've got a shout out to my man, mainly just given it's the first show of the SC Ballers. I think I might have talked him up on their first show of the pod ever. But he's now found himself with the Dogs on the wing. The Dogs are playing a nice easy side this weekend. Should be a smash up against the Dragons. And that's Marcelo Montoya. To have a big start to the year, big pod play.
I think he's, but if they're out, if I'm probably being realistic, I'll be feeling smug when he scores 100 this week, but he won't be starting in my side. My pod play that could find his way into my side is currently 2.4% owned. It's Campbell Graham. Earlier about his about the Souths just not having a huge base workload, even when Latrell is back, he's not a noted bring him out. And I just think with Latrell not being there, I don't think that that's the worst for Campbell Graham, because they're going to be looking for some attacking plays on his side. So at 500k, I really like the look of Campbell Graham. It's just whether or not can he take on Greg Marju if you can't fit them both in your side, if you went Roger last week?
I think his draw is too tough to start. They got Sharks and Penrith first four, and they're playing up in the deluge up there in southeast Queensland this week. I'm happy to have a look at Campbell to start.
Surely that's getting dropped, that game. Like,
well, maybe moved. What happens. We'll see.
AFL's already announced they've cancelled, haven't they? So,
yeah.
See what happens
One to keep an eye on. That's going to see us out tonight, guys. Just want to remind everyone, baller.promo to go and sign up. The league code 730444. Make sure you jump in, but make sure you get to baller.promo to get your name and email in to make for the $5,000 worth of prizes that are on offer. And I cannot stress enough that this is just the beginning. We've got so much more great stuff that's coming in the next coming weeks and months this season for NRL Supercoach. So exciting to be a part of. And let's get the community humming, because it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you very much for being up nice and early, Danny Boy.
Yeah, the 5 a.m. start was, it was interesting. But no, we got there. We did all right. I don't know if you mentioned, the little baller doesn't have an E in it as well. So you got B-A-L-L.
No.
No E. And then R.
Oh, that's true.
So people for searching for it, you might want to mention that. But yeah, so
that's
ball
true.
R is what you
ball R. S-C baller. B ballers. B-A-L-L-R-S. Yeah, we'll put all the links and everything in the podcast, and you'll find us on socials at S-C baller most places. So make sure you look us up. Tube's been a good one. You've done well. Glad to get our old boy Montoya late mention, but looking forward to round one, and make sure you enjoy it.
You beauty.